given us everything. There's no back door. There's no get out of jail free card. And in this situation, I didn't know what to do, or I couldn't get out, or I couldn't represent Christ here. Everything, because of who Christ is and the Spirit at work within us, has granted us the ability to shine Jesus. And that's amazing. And that is something we should cherish, that we are a people with the glory of Christ in us, the supernatural Spirit walking with us. And that the Lord said that I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we are a people walking with Christ. And I think in that, I spoke to our congregation about 2-3 weeks ago, and I said, we are called to be light bearers, to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That God has called us to be a people to do good works. And then he said that these good works we should show others so that they can glorify our Father. John 15 speaks about that we should bear much fruit, and by this fruit that you bear, my Father is glorified, because we're bearing fruit in his name, and it's birthed by the Spirit. But as I've come to realize, and as I speak to a lot of people on a weekly and a monthly and a yearly basis, there is certain areas that's easier to shine your light, and other areas that's a little bit more complicated. Let's leave it at that. For example, it's quite easy to, on a Sunday, shine your light, because there's like-minded people, they kumbaya here in front, and they go all extravagant. You guys even have flags. That is like radical. Like, you are charismatic when you have flags. And it's just incredible and easy in such a setting to shine your light. You are nice, and everybody brings you cookies. Guys, we're students, so cookies. And it's easy. Easier. And then also, I found it quite easy when it comes to strangers, because they don't know you. You can be kind to the waiter and tip them a little bit more, and like, I'm generous as Christ is generous, or that you go to the cashier and you give them a prophetic word. Even if it's right or wrong, they don't know you. They'll never probably see you ever. So you're like, oh, I share Jesus with them, and you shine your light and you go away. But where I found it to be quite difficult and a bit more stretching is sometimes with our peer-to-peer relationships, when it comes to our colleagues or the people that have known us for years. Oh, I've known them from school days, like 20, 30 years ago. And then we want to bring Jesus in, and then the conversation starts to get quite awkward. Oh, now you want to bring Jesus in. What happened this past 10 years or 20 years or 30 years that I've known you? And then sometimes it gets a little bit tricky to shine your light in that context. And then I found even more difficult is in our own house, where there's a husband and a wife, mom and dad, children, siblings. And I have often wondered why. I think it's because we've probably come out of household that we've never learned to know how to reflect Christ well, or household that Jesus wasn't the center of that household, or when it comes to the example that we've received, that it's not always been that, so now I need to be that, and it becomes strange and difficult for us. I think for me, even, that's one of the most difficult areas to, because I don't know. But his divine power wants to influence and infiltrate every facet of our lives, and not just some facets of our life, to transform even our parenting, even being a husband and a wife, and the way that we treat our wives and raise our children, how we are in private and in public. God wants to come in all areas. And one thing that I think is difficult in our society that we grow up in is that we live in a society that quite practices cultural Christianity. And cultural Christianity is something to do with that Jesus is an add-on to my life on my terms. So I give him areas or facets of my life, because if I don't have Jesus, my life will not be blessed, and God can't come next to me then and bless my 5-year plan. if I don't have Jesus, I will not be a social acceptable person, like kindness and love won't be a part of me. So I need a little bit of Jesus just to fit in. And I think sometimes we grow in our Christianity to a point that we are socially acceptable in a church like this. And it's actually quite easy. So if you don't know Jesus here today, I'm going to make it for you very easy to fit in to a church. Just do everything they do. Say, hey, brother. Go to the prayer meetings earlier. They will think you're like the next level. Say the right things. Worship the right way. And I'm not trying to be cynical or funny about this, but sometimes cultural Christianity is that we just do enough to fit in, but we don't allow the divine power of Christ to form and shape our hearts so that it is not behavior modification, but it's a life lived under the Lord. That the Spirit has taken out the heart of flesh, the heart of stone, and put in the heart of flesh, and that there's a Spirit at work within us, and we allow Christ to take the steering wheel of our lives. There's a theologian that once said that man is happy to live for a God. Man is happy to have a God-centered life as long as God has a man-centered life. Meaning we are happy enough to put God in the center of our lives as long as we know that type of God that we serve puts our interest best at heart. That it's all about us and our blessing and what we can receive. And that type of God we love to serve, rather that we lay down our lives and not pick it up again, because if we pick up our life according to Jesus, we will lose it. But if we lay down our life for His name's sake, we will actually find life in Christ. And I think one way that I can describe this is our little Dasi, Mia, the little one running around. She is very determined. I'm not going to say the Afrikaans word, but she is very determined. Little lady. And one thing that, and we can't take credit for this, we don't know what we're doing as parents. Like, yeah, please speak to us afterwards. We need tips. We really don't know how to parent, so we're learning on the job. But the one thing about Mia is that because she's so determined, there's a lot of things that she just does out of her own. For example, this past 2 or 3 months, she's trying to potty train herself. Okay? She's seeing what we are doing, and she's imitating that. So at random times, it happened 2 or 3 times last night. You guys don't even, we slept over by their place. Before we went to bed, she comes to us, pee-pee, pee-pee. And we're like, what is happening here? And she wants to do a number one now. We're like, you have a diaper on. You can go for it. And she's like, pee-pee. And what that means is we need to pick up that little Leifie. We need to put her on the toilet, hold her, otherwise she falls in. And then for 2 or 3 seconds, she takes a little piece of toilet paper, puts it between her legs, jumps off, runs off. That's it. She pee-peed. All the pants is on, everything, but she pee-peed. And the thing is, a day, hopefully this day will never come, but it might come. Because of her personality, maybe like in the next 6 months or 8 months, she's going to get this brilliant idea that she's going to help us out. She's going to do a number two in her pants, and she's going to make the plan, I am going to change my own diaper. And then what she's going to do, she's probably going to sneak away, and it's going to be quiet in the house. And I know the veteran parents here are like, when it is quiet in the house, you start to shout, Mia. Oh, there she looks. You see, that works. But for me as a young parent, I don't have silence in my house a lot, so I would leave it. Because that's like 3 or 4 minutes of the Lord's presence, just not having quiet in my house. And I think what would happen then is she's going to try to change her poo diaper. She can get that thing off. She's done it many times. She's going to get poo over her pants, over her hands. She's going to get a new diaper. We've done it a million times, so she knows the rodeo. She will get that thing on, but that thing will also be full of poo. And then the moment is going to come. I'm going to be all spiritual, aka lying on the couch watching TV. And she's going to come around the corner, and I am a firm believer in not giving your children rejection issues or father wounds. But a father wound and a rejection issue is going to happen in that next few seconds. As she comes around that corner, I'm going to jump up, and I'm going to say, no, 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 Mia, 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 stay away. get the hose pipe leafy, do everything, and I will as get far away from that. And I think sometimes that little act of good works and trying to help myself and Brigitte out is exactly how we are with God. Just like, God, I know there's a way of doing things that the power of the parent needs to step in here to do the good work perfectly. But in that moment, I'm going to say, God, I thank you for what you've made available for me, but I'll help you out here. So even the very good things that we do is stained by human effort, but it's full of poo. And then sometimes we get to God, Daddy, 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 look at what I've done. And God is like, that is not what I've intended for your Christianity. That's not what I've intended for you to follow me. This is a divine power working within you and not human effort, not good works. And I think for many of us and myself, we need to watch that thing because of cultural Christianity, because of around us, that the thing, I think the way we relate to God is wrong. That there's this massive ladder going up to heaven. God is at the top. I'm here on earth, and I need to get everything right to get to Jesus. So I go to church. I read my Bible 15 minutes a day. I am a kind person. And all of those things are good things, but the starting point is wrong. Because we do it to get the approval of God, to get the power of God, to feel confidence before the Lord, where the gospel said and says, you can't do it. I needed to come down that ladder to live the life that you couldn't live, to die the death and the punishment that you deserved. And now, because of the works of Christ and not the works of man, you are approved already. You have the divine power made available already. You are blessed because you're a child of God already. And out of that starting blocks, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. I don't have to love people. I get to love people. I don't have to go to community. I want to go to community. I don't need to tithe. I want to tithe. Everything changes. And it moves away from duty to delight, from works to spiritful, divine, empowered Christianity. And I think there's something in that for us to recognize. If your Christianity and your walking with Christ feels like duty, like I must, ons moet nou kerk toe gaan, want dit is die regte ding om te doen, or it feels burdensome, it might be an indicator that we are following him, trying to get up the ladder, rather than accepting the free gift of the gospel that he has come down. And that's why we're having scriptures like Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. It says, for by grace you've been saved. Grace means you got something that you don't deserve through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's not human effort. It's a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Romans 8:11 says the following, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Is your walk with Christ and a Jesus-centered life, is your that relationship marked by life? Life in Christ, life in abundance, because that is what the Lord has for every single one of us that walks with him. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Paul is dead. It's no longer Paul or Henry or Ginter that lives, but Christ who lives in Paul now. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He has the steering wheel of my life because he loved me and he gave himself up for me. Because of the work of Christ, we have the privilege to allow him to take the steering wheel and to drive us to extraordinary places, to live a life unto him for his glory, to shine bright. And I think one thing that is celebrated in our culture is people that are self-made. A self-made millionaire. Have you guys heard, like, just seen there on Facebook or on YouTube, and we watch these videos of people self-made. They made it on their own. They needed no one, and they just did it. I want to say there's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. There was a lot of people that helped them, employees that was around them. The only difference between a self-made millionaire and one that self-made is they suck all the glory. I did it. No, you didn't do it. There was others helping you. No, but I did it. And I think sometimes we're going to be a self-made Christian. I did it. I'm socially acceptable. I did all the right things. No, no, no. We need the divine power of Christ at work in all facets of our lives. There's no such thing as a self-made Christian, just a believer that is shaped by the gospel. Now, I want to end off for the next 6-7 minutes as I land to just consider 2 or 3 areas that I believe potentially might be areas that is more difficult to allow the Lord to take the steering wheels in those areas. And for some of us, this means like, oh, do we need to speak about those things in church? Yes. Yes, we do need to. Why? Because Christ has taken hold of us not just for Sundays, not just for social acceptable meetings or places where we meet with Christians, but all facets of our lives. He wants us to glorify Him, to honor Him. And we need to speak about these things because He is worthy. He is worthy to be honored in every facet of our lives. And I've been trying out, I don't like it that much, but I'm trying out the audio Bible thing. There's some people that likes to do that. It's difficult for me. But I tried out the audio Bible and was listening to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And as I was listening to it, I got to the Sermon on the Mount, this famous preach of Jesus. And Jesus highlights something of the importance of the private life. And I think that's the first area that I would like to highlight. Are you allowing the divine power that has given you everything that you need in your private devotion with the Lord to influence that? And God or Jesus highlighted 3 different areas and elevated them that it shouldn't be just a public display of your spirituality, but there's something private in that that God loves. It's prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites that do long prayers before everyone. Just close your door and pray. Fasting. Don't fast and look, oh, yo, this is a difficult fast. I've been going at least 4 hours now. I'm like, okay. And we elevate ourselves. No, no, no. Set your makeup is on. Be all okay. Do it to the Lord. And then the last one was giving. And I think when it comes to prayer, the heart of prayer and what prayer is, it expresses your need for God. If you pray, you ask. And when you ask, you display need. That is amazing. That is God honoring. It reflects a heart that says, I can't, but God can. It doesn't reflect a heart like Moses that didn't pray and say, I will take all this Savior thing in my own hands, and he killed one of the Egyptians. So the first 40 years of the life of Moses was marked with Moses can. And then the next 40 years of his life, he was sent out to look after sheep and to be humbled. And then when God called him, he's like, I can't. Moses can't. But then the revelation came that the next 40 years of his life, God can. God can take these people. God, you are faithful to your people. This is your people. You come and deliver them. You come and do it. And every single believer needs to go through that. I can. I can't. God can. God can come and do it. So how's it going with your prayer? Are you speaking about people or lifting them up in prayer to the Lord? Because I think sometimes we think we're going to deal with things in our heart just to speak about the person. That's called gossip. I think sometimes we need to bring it before the Lord and say, God, you come and do what you need to do. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And we need to bring it before the Lord. Our character in private. Are we still aiming to be kind? Are we still aiming to be good and gentle with our husband and our wife and our children? And I promise you, I know this is difficult. The fruits of the Spirit is difficult. Why? Because it's not the fruits of Henry. It's the fruits of the Spirit. So I need to abide. And abide takes effort. And we live in a society that I can drive around the corner and get McDonald's. Just like that. We don't like slow cooker food anymore. Don't like things taking time. We don't like fruit taking time in our lives. I prayed it in our little groupie there at the prayer meeting. The parable of the sower. A sower goes out to sow seed. And some fell on different types of soil. But the last soil is the good soil. And that it says it will produce fruit with patience. But nobody reads the patience word. Go read it. Patience is in there. 30, 60, 100-fold. But it's patience. Then the fruit will come. So it takes time. The second thing on my list, but the third thing that was mentioned there is our giving. There was once a theologian that said that every person needs to go through a conversion of the heart, meaning that Christ takes hold of their life. They need to be born again. But somewhere through their life, they will need a conversion of the wallet. Because sometimes we think our priorities are straight and we think Christ is all of our life, but sometimes the ruler of our life is sometimes our wallets. And the Bible is very clear about this, that it's actually a dangerous area in our society, in the world, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We can serve God, and then the only other God, false God, that is mentioned is money. It can be like a God to us. What does that mean? It means it dictates our life. Anything that dictates our life is a God to you. Is it God or is it money? Does that thing have the steering wheel of our life? And we can lean to the side, but I don't have a lot of money. That can still dictate your life because that's the only thing you think about. That's the only thing that guides you. That's the only thing that guides your emotions. That money is the thing that controls where you live, where your children go to school, what type of car you drive. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying, does it dictate your decisions? Does it dictate the type of clothes that you wear? I have more, so now I need to be flashy. I'm not saying it's wrong, but is it dictating us? Is it steering us? Is it guiding us? I think just two things that I love about Jesus and how he speaks about money is this thing of where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Your heart might not be there yet, but it will be there. So I want to say, if you invest your money on the stock market, your eyes and your attention and your heart will be there as well. You would look it up. You would look at the inflation. You would look at what Robert just spoke earlier, that is his line of work, that he needs to take time to look at society. And his whole being is made up that he works for a company that makes accurate estimations of what this money will do moving forward, up and down, and he does predictions. I want to say all of us does that. Just invest into something. Just put some money in Bitcoin, you will check Bitcoin every day. Likewise, if you put your money there, your heart will gravitate towards that. So there's something, a principle in that. If you want to have a heart for missions, are you investing? Are you putting your money where your heart is or want to be? Maybe you don't have a heart for the people of God because you are not generous. Maybe we don't have the church, yeah, but because we're not investing. And this is difficult things to work through, but it's a principle in the Bible. And secondly, finances is super practical. I love that. I'm a very practical guy. Like, I don't want to go the airy-fairy when Jesus is going to come back, the exact date, and da-da-da. He said, no one will know. So I was very faithful with that scripture. I'm like, okay, no one will know. So when somebody says a date, I'm like, okay, it's not that date. So I can scratch that date out. And that's how practical I am with the Bible. But sometimes financially as well. The Bible says that we need finances for practical things, to employ people, to move the church forward. And I want to invest because I want the kingdom to go forward. I want more churches. I want more. And we're not just a part of this. We're not investing so that Durbanville Central or Stellenbosch Central can grow, but that the kingdom of God can advance all over. So we invest in that. And I think lastly, to end off with, it's one that I've grown to become very, obviously, passionate about, that the Lord wants His divine power behind closed doors in our marriages and in our parenting. And especially in our parenting. And I think there's something in that for us, that our parenting must be marked by intentionality. Are we intentional parents when it comes to our children? We have a short amount of years to sow and reap. And as we sow good fruit and the kingdom fruit and the gospel in their lives, we can see a great harvest of Jesus loving people and kids come out. And I think sometimes church has become this organization type thing that we come on a Sunday and I receive what the Lord has for me. And there is this sub, and we spoke about earlier that the kids' church is a place where, the kids get looked after. It's not that. I think parents need to be at kids' church because the primary place, as I read scripture, is in the household. That a mom and a dad is the primary discipler of their children. And then secondary, it's elders. Secondary, it's people out there. Secondary, it's a young adult that they look up to that's quite cool, but they serve Jesus. That's secondary, but primarily it's the mom and dad. And I think there's something in that for us, that we have these number of years to be intentional with them, to plow into them. I see almost like this picture of a bowling alley that your child is the bowling ball and you want to bowl them as accurate as possible to get a strike in this life, because you have one shot and you want to make it a count. You want to be intentional by going for this. And the way that we can make sure that they hit that strike is by putting railings at the side. And that is the truths of the gospel, the way that we are kind to them and we do it according to God's way, and the way that we say sorry, and the way that we do not provoke our children to anger, and we allow the divine power to shape us, and not just, that is what my dad did. That is the family I came out of. But allow the gospel to shape us and say, I will parent according to what Christ has laid out before me. And I'm going to not have this hidden type of parenting. I'm going to ask for a lot of help. And that's one thing that myself and Brigida tries to dedicate ourselves is help. Help. Help, rarig. To help. Because we don't know it all. And sometimes these private matters like finances and parenting and marriage is, the society says it must be private. I want to say it must be way more public because of its, just how important it is. We need help in those areas. So I want to encourage us to allow the divine power to work in those areas. I'm finished. Let's stand, everyone. I think there's a lot of things that I mentioned and said, but I think at the end it comes down to, does Christ have all of you? Every facet, every area. However that plays out practically, that will play out practically. But at the end it comes down to, does Christ have all of me? And I think for some of us it might mean today that the Lord wants to deal with your heart and to say, this room is still locked up, and I don't ask a lot there, and I don't allow the Lord in that area, or my parenting, or the way that I speak to my wife, or how I treat my husband, and just things like that. And it's touchy matters. I'm very aware of that. And it's difficult matters, but it's God matters. It's things that the Lord has given us as gifts that He wants to shape and mold. So I would want to start. Let's close our eyes. I would like to pray for us. We come from Stellenbosch. We don't know anyone here, but if you came today and you are visiting, if you might have visited a number of times, I shared about that this ladder going up to heaven and that God is at the top and I'm at the bottom and I try to get to God, but it feels like I'm failing the whole time. And that might have been your Christian experience, that you've never accepted the gift of God, that God has came down to you to extend his hand of help, to say, I will do it. I will pick you up. I will forgive your sins. And no more do you need to try harder. But you need to trust more that I've got this. And if that's you and you've never handed over the steering wheel of your life completely to the Lord, and that there's something in your heart that you might have visited the church and you might have called yourself even a Christian, but today there's a realization that I do not know Jesus yet to that full extent and what was preached today and shared today, I would love you to respond, because the Lord says that it is so easy as praying a prayer of saying sorry and thank you. Sorry that I've not done it your way, and I've done it my own way. But thank you what you have done. And from now on, I give myself completely to you. So if that's you, would you raise your hand? I would love to pray for you if you do not know Jesus yet. Amazing. So for the rest of us, I think we can go into a time of just singing one song before we close. But the thing I preached about is not something that you can live out here today. But we can respond here. It can start here to say, God, I'm sorry for the areas that have not allowed you to take the steering wheel of my life in that area. I would love you to repent, bring that before the Lord. And if you want to actually respond to the Lord, to come to the front and say, as a maybe just an act of dedication, I'm going to stand before the Lord and say, God, come and rework something in my heart, that in this area I want to dedicate myself again, that you, your divine power would work in all facets of my life. So Father, I want to pray for us this morning, Lord, for the glorious, glorious gift of grace, Lord. That grace is getting something that we don't deserve. But grace is also empowering if on every area of our lives, Lord, to live a life that pleases you. And Father, I thank you for the everything. That you've given us everything that we need to live a godly life. In you, through you, for your glory and for your splendor, Lord. And Father, we want to be known as Durbanville Central, as a people that loves Christ with everything of what you've given us. The public and private matters. We want to serve Christ all in all. And Father, I want to pray if there's any areas in our lives that we haven't healed it, made you Lord in. Father, today we draw a line in the sand and say, God, would you come again? We repent, Lord. We're sorry. We missed the mark. But Father, thank you that you're gracious. And that it's not your anger, but it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. That one of your attributes is that you are gentle. That you are gentle with us. You're gentle with our hearts. You're gentle with where we have messed up. That you are not just this angry God, but to those outside there, you come as a lion. But with those that know you and have yielded their heart, you are a lamb to them. You come as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we love you, Lord.